Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yotes on the base, four lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, we had learned, the Mishnah began to teach us the halachas of Malika, and actually contrasting the halachas of Malika versus the halachas of Shechita. And our Gemara continues to learn these rules of Malika. Says the Gemara, Amri b'nei Reb Chiya, the children of Reb Chiya, the names of them were Chizkiya and Yehuda, teach us the mitzvah Malika. What is the way to do Malika? Machzis simonim lachurei ha'orif, you move the two simonim, the kon and the veshit, to the back of the neck, and that's how Malika is done. Machloikis v'shoinim, if according to b'nei Reb Chiya, was speaking about the moving of the simonim to the back of the neck, what will be the halacha regarding the mafrekes that we're going to learn later in our shiurim, that during the malika the neck bone is broken? And the question is, according to them, that the simonim are moved to the back of the neck, is the neck bone broken as well? Some rishonim say that the Bnei Reb Chiya hold that the only thing you need to do is move the simonim to the back and you don't touch the neck bone. However, most Rishonim are of the opinion, as will become clearer in the Gemara, as it will become clearer as we learn our Sugya today in Mitzvah Shem, that breaking the neck bone is essential in the avoida of the simonim, is avoida of Malika, and here too the neck bone would have to be broken. But now the Gemara asks, now the Gemara brings two versions, that according to Bnei Reb Chiya, you break the neck bone, what does that mean? Ik da amri, that we move the simonim. Does that mean af machzir, that even if we move the simonim to the back of the neck, that is an acceptable way of doing the shechita? But that doesn't mean that that's the chatchil, the good way of doing the shechita. That means, according to the opinion, this way Rashi learns, according to the opinion that holds af machzir, it means is you can move the simonim to the back, but that doesn't mean that that's what you should do. The proper thing is not to move the simonim to the back. Vikadamri, and the other version, holds machzir dafka, that you should specifically move the simonim to the back. And as I saw a number of explanations amongst the Mefarshim, Rishonim and Achronim, who try to explain what is the basis of this machloikus, if l'chatchili you should, or if the evidence is also okay if you did. So one explanation, which will be a concept that will be a recurring concept in our shiur today, is that clearly, as we learned in our Mishnah, Malika and Shechita are very different. And therefore, the machloikus here is there a specific point to try to treat the malika and shechita differently? The mandam that holds af machzir, the mandam that says you can also move into the back, but not that you should move into the back, holds that malika and shechita should be treated differently. And how do you show that they're different? Because by the malika, the simonim are not severed first, and by shechita, the simonim are slaughtered, are cut first. Whereas the other mandama holds, there is no specific need to treat the malika and the shechita differently. That's one approach that I saw. Another approach is a concept that we're going to also discuss in Mitzvah Shem later in our shiur today. And that is the question of yesh shechita la'oif min ha'Torah. Is there a requirement to do shechita? Because there's a Gemara we learned in Masechta Menachos. The Gemara Masechta Menachos mentions a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk says, "Nevela v'treifa lo yoichlo kahanim." The pasuk singles out the kahanim and tells us that the kahanim may not eat a nevela and a treifa. And the question that the Gemara asks immediately in Masechta Menachos is: it only a rule that kahanim may not eat nevela v'treifa? No one is allowed to eat nevela and treifa. So the Gemara answers that since when a bird is killed through malika, it is it turns into, if a regular bird was killed that way, it would be considered a nevela. So we would think that since kahanim are allowed to eat chatas oif, and the chatas oif is a nevela, that the halacha is that the rules of nevela and treifa do not apply to kahanim. That's why the Torah has to teach us. That's why the Torah has to teach us that no, the kahanim as well are not allowed to eat nevela v'treifa. The din of malika is a unique rule. So the mandam that says that af machzer teaches says that that pasuk is clearly indicating that malika is a nevela. Otherwise, why would the Torah be singling out the kahanim? So that's why. Why isn't it a nevela? Because the proper way of doing it is not by moving the simonim to the back. And therefore, were you to kill a regular bird that way, if you were to kill a regular bird that way, it would be a malika. That's why the Torah teaches us that it would be a nevela. The kahanim, not. The other mandam says that even though the Torah teaches us that the pasuk seems to be teaching us that kahanim are allowed to eat nevela, that is only because everybody agrees that if you didn't move the simonim by the malika, the malika is a valid malika. And since it's a valid malika, therefore the pasuk has to teach us that kahanim still have the halacha of nevela v'treifa. But it's not to say that l'chatchila, the malika, should be done in a way that turns the animal into a nevela. So again, the machlokes is how to understand that pasuk in that Gemara Masechta Menachos. One mandama says that the pasuk is coming to teach us the malika should be a nevela, as malika should be a nevela. So here the pasuk is the Gemara is teaching us that even though it should be a nevela, if you didn't do it that way, it's still going to be a valid malika. And the other mandama says that it can be a nevela, but it doesn't have to be a nevela. So the pasuk is teaching us that if you did it as a nevela, the halacha is that it's going to be a kosher. It's going to be a kosher shechita. But even though it's going to be a kosher shechita, it's going to be a kosher malika, doesn't mean it has to be that way. It could very well be that the right way to do it is by being master the simonim and not making it into a nevela. Says the Gemara, however, umistabra, it makes more sense to say that the proper way to do it is afmasa. Not that you should move the simonim to back, but rather if you also did it that way, it's fine. But preferably they should not be moved to the back. Memai, and what's the raya? The raya is from what we learned in our Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Mashaychim in the Oirev, Shchitasa Psula. If you shech by the Oirev, the Shchit is a Shchit apostle. If you do Malika from the Oirev, the Malika is kosher. Now, says the Gemara, V'sal Kedaita, if we're going to say that the proper way of doing the Malika is Machzeh Dafka, strictly by moving the Simonim to the back, so ask the Gemara, my Iri Moilut, so why is this a Halacha strictly by Malika? By Shchita as well, if somebody were to move the Simonim to the back, it would be a perfect Shchita. And our Mishnah is going to great pains to differentiate between Shchita and Malika. It must be Shma Mino, Af Machzer. That Malika, yes, if you move the Simonim to the back, it'll still be a kosher Malika. But that's not the preferable way. The preferable way is when you didn't. Masnisim B'dloy Hadr, you did it the right way by not moving the Simonim to the back. And it would be kosher for the Malika. But if you did shechita that way without first cutting the simonim, it would be an invalid shechita. So according to Bnei Rav Chiya, malika could be done with cutting the simonim first. The only question that we've been learning, according to them, is that the preferable way of doing it, or is it that it's just acceptable to do it? Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Yanai, comments Rav Yanai, Yikabu harodmas tivosim. Rod means the young people. The Bnei Reb Chiya should be told that they're wrong. The Tani, because our very Mishnah teaches us, Nimtza kasha b'malika, kasha b'shchita, pasha b'malika. Our Mishnah taught us that what's kasha by shchita is disqualified b'malika, and what's kasha b'malika is pasha b'shchita. Our Mishnah wanted to contrast the halachas of shchita and malika. And as we also pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, the question is that when the Mishnah, in the second part of the Mishnah, taught us this halacha, we asked, why did the Mishnah have to teach us this? We already learned it in the first part of the Mishnah, Lamute Mai, so isn't the Mishnah coming to teach us? Lamute Machsa Simonim Lachurei Arif, that the Mishnah wants to teach us the halacha if somebody moves the Simonim to the back of the neck. The Loi, and the Mishnah is contrasting Malika from Shchita, and teaching us that by Shchita, it's the right thing to do, to cut the Simona first, and by Malika, it isn't. So don't we have a raya from our Mishnah that the Simonim should not be moved by the Malika? Answers the Gemara, no. That's not what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. What the Mishnah is coming to teach us, Amar Rav Chana, Lemuti Shem Tzipayim. We know that the right way to do Malika is by taking the fingernail and penetrating the back of the neck until the simanim are pierced. However, as we have learned earlier in our parak, if a shechita were done that way, it would actually be a disqualified shechita. And what our Mishnah is going to do is to differentiate between the shechita and the malika, and to teach us that a nail is used for the shechita, and it's not for the malika, and not used for shechita. Ask the Gemara, Shein v'tzipayim v'hedi k'tanelo, the halacha that a nail, that a fingernail should not be used for shechita, we learned explicitly earlier in our parak. We don't need this Mishnah to teach us that halacha. And as most Rishonim point out, the Gemara here is speaking as well, not just about the tzipayim, not just about the fingernail, which is the right way to do malika, but it also speaks about the shame, the tooth. But most Rishonim point out that it's only mentioned because earlier in our parak, the shame, the halachas of the shame and the tzipayim are taught together. But actually, when it comes to malika, it's the fingernail that's used, not the tooth. A tooth, a connected tooth, is not valid neither to be used for shechita nor for malika. So again, the Gemara's question is as follows. If, according to the Bnei Reb Chiya, malika can, or perhaps even should be done with taking the simanim to the back of the neck, which is also acceptable for a shechita, the question is, what is the difference between malika and shechita that the Mishnah is trying to emphasize? Answers the Gemara, Ela Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Lemuti Malika Mevi. As we've discussed numerous times, the proper way of doing shechita is by doing halacha vahiva, by doing a back and forth motion. And our Mishnah is teaching us that by shechita a halacha vahiva is done, and not by malika. And here again, the Mefarshim try to explain why should a halacha vahiva not be done by malika. So the explanation, very much in line with what we discussed earlier in our shiur, is because the Torah wants to differentiate between malika and shechita. So if by shechita halacha vahiva is so very essential, by malika don't do halacha vahiva to differentiate between the two. However, I did see a different pshat as well, because as we've also learned, one of the ways of disqualifying a shechita is through shiur, if there's any pause during the shechita. So when we do halacha vahiva, there's actually always a reason to be concerned that there's going to be a shiur, that there's going to be a pause. So why do we do it? Because that's the proper way of doing shechita. So where the Torah tells us to do a shechita, and whereby shechita, the proper way of doing shechita, is with halacha vayva. We do halacha vayva even though it carries with it the concern that one may end up having Shia. But by Malika, with clearly the Torah doesn't require Halacha Vayva, so says Reb Yirmiyah, don't do Halacha Vayva, because when you're going to do Halacha Vayva, you stand the chance, you stand the risk of making Shia, and you shouldn't do Shia, or shouldn't enter into such a risk, unless you would actually have to enter it. Ask the Gemara, Hanicha, this explanation of our Mishnah, that the Mishnah is trying to differentiate between Malika and Halacha Vayva, that by Malika you don't do Malika and Shchita, that by Malika you don't do Halacha Vayva, and by Shchita you do Halacha Vayva, says the Gemara, Hanich Lamanda Amma, Meiluch Mevi Malika Pasul. That makes sense according to the opinion that indeed Halacha Vayva should not be done by Malika. El Lamanda Amma Kasha. According to Manda Amma, Halacha Vayva can be done by Malika as well. Ask the Gemara back to our question. According to the Bnei Rav Chiya, Ma'ik Lameimer, what is the difference between Malika and Shchita that the Mishnah is trying to emphasize? Answers the Gemara, Bnei Rav Chiya, Savali Commander Amr, Ma'ik Lameimer, Malika Pasul, which means as follows. We, who aren't obligated to follow the opinion of Bnei Rav Chiya, will say that the Mishnah, when it's differentiating between Malika and Shchita, is trying to say that by Shchita you cut the Simanim, and by Malika you don't cut the Simanim. The Bnei Rav Chiya, who clearly don't hold that way, will have no option but to be of the opinion that Halacha V'Hayva should not be done by Malika, and that the Mishnah is trying to teach us Halacha V'Hayva should be done by Shchita, and Halacha Vayva should not be done by Malika. Says the Gemara, Amrav Kahana, Mitzvah Malika, what is the proper way of doing Malika? Kaitzitz V'yoyer, he pierces the back of the neck of the bird until he gets to the Simonim, and he Vizui Mitzvasa, and that's the proper way of doing Malika. Sova Rav Avin Lameimer, so Rav Avin assume that what Rav Kahana mean to say, that kaitzitz v'yoyer in, that the proper way of doing Malika is by piercing the back, ma'ilach u'mevi loy, but halacha v'ayva should not be done. Amalei Rav Yirmiyah, so Rav Yirmiyah says just the opposite, kol shekei the ma'ilach u'mevi kosh, ma'ilach u'mevi Malika kosh. He, and the machlokes between Rav Yirmiyah and Rav Kahana is the heart of what we've been discussing in our Shia today. Whereas the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying, that we've been learning in our Shia that we try to differentiate as much as possible between Malika and Shchita. And he argues that just the opposite, that Malika and Shchita should be as similar as possible. And therefore, that if by Shchita we know the halacha is that we specifically have to do halacha v'hayva, by Malika as well we should do halacha v'hayva. Umay zui mitzvasa. What does it mean when Rav Kahana said zui mitzvasa? He doesn't mean to exclude doing halacha v'hayva by Malika. What he says is eima av zui mitzvasa. Whereas by Shchita the only option available is halacha v'hayva, as we've learned, were one to pierce the simonim by a shchita, that would be a drusa, and it would clearly be a disqualified shchita, even if you're using a knife. By Malika, the Rav Kahana is teaching us that if you pierced it, there is no issue of drusa, and it's also kosher. But it doesn't mean to exclude halacha v'ayva. On the contrary, the better way to do it is to do it with halacha v'ayva, because halacha v'ayva is the right way to do shchita, and Malika should be as similar as possible. Says the Gemara, Amr Yirmiyah Amr Shmuel, Kol HaKosh B'Shchita, whatever area, whatever location on the throat is where shchita should be done, Kenegdoi B'Oirev Kosh Malika. The corresponding area on the back of the neck is where the Malika is done. So, as most Mepharshim say, what Shmuel is coming to teach us, the rule regarding the location. And Shmuel is teaching us that where Malika, the place where Shechita is done in the front, that of the animal, that's where Malika is done in the back of the animal. Her possible Shechita. And therefore, what we extrapolate is that an area that's disqualified to do Shechita is possible Malika, that area is not kosher to do Malika when Malika is required. Ask the Gemara, Lemutei Mai, what exactly is Shmuel seemingly come to teach us? Lemutei Ikur Simonim. That if the simonim are not in their proper place, if the conurbation, if the trachea and the esophagus have been dislodged from their proper place, the halacha is that that isn't a disqualification by Malika. That to teach us, on the contrary, that if simonim are dislodged, just like by shechita, it's an issue, so too will it be an issue by Malika. Ask the Gemara, if that's what Shmuel is coming to teach us, for Tanurim B'Chaskel, and Ikus Simon Ba'if. As we're soon going to see, according to Rambam B'Chaskel, there is no issue if by a bird the Simonim are dislodged. So that can't be what Shmuel is teaching us. So as the Rishonim explain, when we spoke about the various disqualifications of a shechita, and the last disqualification that was indicated was ikur. So Rashi explained that ikur means that one used a knife that had a begima, and because the knife had a begima, it doesn't cut the simonim, it rips the simonim, and therefore it's a disqualified shechita. However, as we also pointed out when we learned the Gemara, it is the opinion of many Rishonim, most notably the Bahag, the Baal Hilchos Gedolos, that Ikur also means that when the Simonim are dislodged from their proper place. And now, that's the way the Rishonim explain Al Gemara. Because when Rashi said, and we explained it when we learned that Gemara, when Rashi said that Ikur means that the Simon, that when used a knife with Begima, it wasn't that Rashi was disagreeing with the Bahag. And Rashi was holding that if the simonim are dislodged, it's not an issue. Rather, what the Rishonim said, what the Mefarshim said in explaining Rashi, is that Rashi agrees that Ikur includes both types of disqualification, both when one used a knife with a begima, or when the simonim are dislodged. Rashi preferred in that Gemara to say that the Pshat is that the knife had in it a begima, because all the other disqualifications that are listed in that Gemara are disqualifications that speak to the shochet. Shia, that the shochet took a pause. Drasa, that the shochet pierced instead of cut. So Rashi therefore preferred to say that Ikur as well speaks to the form of the shechita, not to the bird or animal that are being slaughtered. But certainly, explained in the Farshim, Rashi agrees that if the animal, if the simonim are dislodged, the shechita is a disqualified shechita. And that's what the Gemara is suggesting, is what Shmuel is saying, our Mishnah is teaching us. That just like by shechita, if the simonim are dislodged, it's a disqualified shechita, so too would be the halacha by Malika. To which the Gemara asks, but that isn't true, because Rambam ben Yecheskel teaches us that if by a bird the simonim are dislodged, it's not a disqualification. Amar Papa, so therefore a Papa has to give a different explanation to what Shmuel means. What it means is Lemutei Rosha. It comes to say that you can't do Malika on the head. You could only do Malika, as we learned in the previous year, below the back of the head, not at the back of the head. Ask the Gemara, that can't be what Shmuel is teaching us. Roshoi, that you can't do Malika on the back of the head is Pshita, because as we learned in the previous year, the Torah, when it says where the Malika should be done, Mamul Arpoi Amrachmana, clearly indicates that the Malika has to be done Mamul Arpoi, not on the Arifar itself, the Loi Baroshoi.
Answers the Gemara, what Shmuel meant to say was, my roshay, shipur roshay. She going to knock up, mi shipur roshay. We once started doing the maliko on the back of the head, the higrim, for also the automatute. And then he cut on an angle until he got to the bottom part. That means he began the malika outside of the proper area, and then he continued with doing most of the malika in the proper area. Ukrafunam Ravasi, Darafunam Ravasi, Higrim Shlish, if he began doing the malika in the wrong area, which is called the Hagroma, as we learned in the previous year, Vashakat Shnei Shlishi, even though he did the roast of the Shechit in the proper area, and the same as by malika, it's possible. That's what Shmuel is teaching us, that that would be a disqualification by Shechita if he began outside of the proper area and ultimately moved into the proper location of the Shechita. And even when you moved into the proper location of the Shechita, you did most of it in the proper area, it doesn't make a difference since he began in the wrong place. And the same thing applies by Malika. Interesting question that the Rishash asks, that now that we're learning that if you began a Malika in the wrong location, even if you finished in the right location, not only did you finish in the right location, that's where you did most of the Shechita, it's still disqualified, when does that rule apply? Does that rule apply under all circumstances? Or does it only apply that when you started outside of the right location, you also partially cut the simonim outside of the right location? But if you started in the wrong location, but it wasn't most of where you did the cutting, and furthermore, none of the simonim were cut in the wrong location, it could be, Drusha suggests, that it wouldn't be a disqualification of Malika. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The Ramban has a different approach. The Ramban approach is connected to the Gemara that we learned yesterday. But yesterday we learned that you have to cut the kana, you have to cut the windpipe. And we discussed where is the proper area of the cutting of the windpipe in the Tabas Gedoyla. And we looked at, according to Rabbanim, if you began cutting outside of the Tabas Gedoyla, and then you completed your cutting in the Tabas Gedoyla, it still would be a disqualified Shechita, says the Gemara, so too will be the halacha by Malika, which is the way Ramban learns, and would be a proof. There's a question that the entire sugya that we learned in the previous shurim regarding the proper shechita of the kana, is that only speaking by animals, or the same rule applied by birds as well? And this seems to be an indication that this rule applies by birds as well. Says the Gemara, Amale Rab Achabere de Rabbele Ravashi, Hadatani Rami Yecheskel. So Rami Yecheskel just taught us an interesting rule, Ein Iku Simona Ba'if, that there is no issue of if the simonim by a bird are dislodged, it isn't disqualification. Loya Marin Elamand Amr is only following the opinion that Ein Shechita Loif Min HaTayr. It's following the opinion, as the Machlokes we're going to learn later in our Masechta, if the chiyuv of shechita on oifis is midoraisa or midrabbanan. So he says, if we're of the opinion, this that Rambam Yecheskel says, that if the simonim are dislodged, it isn't an issue by bird, he's following the opinion that the entire chiyuv shechita by bird is not a chiyuv deraisa. However, he says, l'man dam according to the opinion, yesh shechita l'oif min ha-tayra, that there's a chiyuv shechita by oifis deraisa, so there'll be a din of ikur, that if the simonim are dislodged, it will be treif, it will be a non-kosher bird. However, the Mefarshim say that even if we take the opinion of Ein Shechita L'Oif Min HaTayra, doesn't mean that you could just kill a bird anyway. What's the raya? So Tosfos says, a gevaldig raya. We're going to learn that there's a parish in the Torah of Nevelis Oif Tahar. We know that a Nevela is Tomei. But the Torah differentiates between the Nevela of a kosher animal and the Nevela of a kosher bird. Nevela of a kosher animal becomes Tomei through Maga, Umasa. One becomes Tomei by carrying or touching that Nevela. Nevelis Oif Tahar has a very unique rule. And that is, one becomes Tomei
with a nevela oiftah on the base habliya. If he eats from that nevela, and when it's in his throat, he becomes tamei to the degree that even the clothing that he wears becomes tamei. So makes Tosfos the point that if we're going to say that according to the man the Omer, ein shechita loif min haTorah, and you could kill a bird in any way that you want, so then when is there a parasha on the veil of Sof Tor? It's never in the veil, because any way you killed it, it's not in the veil. It must be, says Tosfos, that even according to the man the Omer that says, it means that you could rip out the simonim any way that you want, but it doesn't mean that you don't have, that doesn't mean that you can kill the bird anyway. It means that instead of cutting the simonim in the prescribed manner of shechita, you could rip them out. It doesn't, chas v'shalom, mean that you could kill the bird anyway. And the raya is a great raya, because otherwise, where would there be a parasha according to this man d'amar of Nevelos Oif Torah? And actually, we had the same concept from Kivega Mates that we learned earlier, that Rekiva said that there was no Isser Abbas in the Chira in the Midbar. According to Rekiva, we learned that in the Midbar they didn't have to slaughter the animals. So again, Rekivega says that doesn't mean that there was no issue of Nevela in the Midbar. The Torah clearly teaches us, says Rekivega, the lav of Leisoichel Kol Nevela, which certainly applied to the Jews in the Midbar like it applies to us. Rather, what he means to say there, rather what Rabbi Kiva means to say, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, is that the din, that you have to cut the simonim, did not apply in the Midbar. You could rip the simonim, you could do whatever you want with the simonim. But certainly the only way ever that an animal could have been killed, even in the Midbar, even according to Rabbi Kiva, was by doing something with the simonim, no other way. Any other way, even Rabbi Kiva would agree, would be a nevela, would be matama, and certainly would be also to eat. So now the Gemara is suggesting that this question that we've been discussing, if the simonim are dislodged, is it a problem by a bird or not, hinges on the question if the chiv of shechit on a bird is a chiv deraisa or not. Amalei, so Rav Ashi says to Rav Acha, I like your line of reasoning, but I come to the opposite results. Adrab, Ivcha Mestabra. The man d'amma yeh shechita l'oif min haTorah. According to the man d'amma that there's a chiv shechita on oifus. Ikla meima, d'ochi agmurei, deim ikur, v'afil a man d'amma ke behema, l'ini ikur lo'lava ke behema. Which means as follows. According to the man d'amma that there's a chiv shechita on oifus medaraisa, why is there such a chiyuv? Because the Torah says, Zois Torahs ha behema va'oif. The Torah is makish oifus to behemus. And the Torah, by being makish oifus to behemus, is teaching us that they have to be the same rules. And as the Rishonim go on to explain, from here we see that a hekesh is not something that we can learn by ourselves. A hekesh, like Gzeir Shava, is something that we have to have a Masorah for. And the Torah tells us that Oifus and Behemus should be treated the same way, that they can only be killed with a Shechita. But the Torah also goes on to say, a hal special halach l'moshe min Sinai, that the rule of Ikur only applies by animals, it doesn't apply by birds. El l'man domer, but says Rav Ashi, according to the opinion, that ain't shechita loif min haTorah, that there is no chiv shechita at all, and in tie midaraisa by birds, and the tie chiv is only midarabanan meich gemirulei mibehema. We have a rule throughout Shas that kav the tikkun daraisa kav the tikkun rabanan kain daraisa tikkun. Wherever Chazal make a rule, they compare it to the daraisa. They use the daraisa as the model. So if the rabanan are saying that there should be shechita by a bird, what will they use as the model? They'll use the model of shechita on an animal, which is what the Torah prescribed. And therefore, kulam l'sku behema, it should be completely like a behema. And just like by behema, a dislodged simon is an issue, so too will it be an issue by an oif. So in other words,
Rav Acha and Rav Ashi both agree that the question if the dislodged simonim is an issue by a bird hinges on the question if yesh shchita v'oif min ha-tayra, if there's a chiv shchita v'deraisa birds, but they have opposite results. According to Rav Acha, if it's m'deraisa, then ikur is an issue. If it's m'drabonan, ikur is not an issue. According to Rav Ashi, just the opposite. If the chiyuv shchita on a bird is deraisa, then ikur is not an issue by birds. If the chiyuv shchita by birds is a derabonan, then ikur is an issue. So clearly we've learned in our Gemara that hagrama is a concern by birds, as we learned previously. Clearly, as we've been learning, hadrasa and chalada are not issues by birds. And the machlokes by Malika, and machlokes rishonim if shia is an issue by birds. Some rishonim, many rishonim, take the opinion that shia is an issue by birds, because shia is not supposed to be done by Malika, just like it's not supposed to be done by shchita. Other rishonim take the opinion that shia, like the other disqualifications, doesn't apply by Malika. And then there's another opinion that differentiates between shia between the simonim versus shia within a simon, which we know. So when you do shchita, it makes no difference if you take a pause during the cutting of a simon or between the simonim. All of that would be in the category of a shia. Whereas by bird, by Malika, only a shia within the simon is considered a shia. A shia between the simonim would not be in the category of a shia. Amravina, says the Gemara, Amali Rovin Bakasi, Hadatani Rami Vecheskel. This that we were learning, the Rami Vecheskel taught us that ain ikus simonim ba'oif, that the dislodging of simonim is not a concern by oif. That's Oloya Maron Elab Malika. Al Bashita, he will agree that Yesh Ikur, that if the simonim are dislodged, even by a bird, it's an issue. Ask the Gemara, Farmer Ami Yirmi Vashmul, Kala Kosh Bashita Kenegdoi, Ba'ayr Kosh Malika, Hapasal Pasal. So, if we're saying that it's a problem by Shita, according to what Shmuel taught us on Amud Aleph, whatever is an issue by Shchita is an issue by Malika. And if the Slot Simonim are an issue by Shchita, why are they not an issue by Malika? Answers the Gemara, who plead you? That halacha that was said in the name of Shmuel clearly is different than what Rav Bakisi says. And Rav Bakisi would clearly hold that by Iker is a problem by Shchita, and it isn't a problem by Malika, because he's going to hold that they don't necessarily travel together. Says the Gemara, on the Ziri, Nizbir Mefrekis, V'roi Basa Ima, if the neck bone and most of the meat around it of an animal are broken, the Nevela. That will be considered a Nevela. There's a question if we also need to have that the Chut HaShedra, if you also have to have the spinal cord broken, or is it just the mafrekis, the neck bone without the spinal cord, and will be enough to make it into Nevela? Amar Rav Chizda says, Afanan Namitanina. Actually, what we learned, what Tzivi said, is taught us in a Mishnah. That's how many Rishonim explained the Gemara. Others say that actually Rav Chizda is asking a question. Why do we need Ziri to teach this? Well, we learned from Ziri, what Ziri is teaching us really has been taught in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Molech Basakin, if the Kayan did Malika with a knife rather than doing it with his fingernail, the halacha is Mitrama Begadon Vesabliya. That will be considered a Nevela. And we know, as we said earlier, the Nevelis Oif Tar has the unique din that it's Metama when a person swallows it, and that even any clothing that he wears becomes Tameh. As says the Gemara, if we're going to say, if we're going to suggest Trefa have that an animal whose neck is broken is only a Trefa,
So the Malika is the proper Shechita. And as we've learned many times, even though the halacha clearly is that one may not eat a treifa, the halacha is that if one does a Shechita on a treifa, he accomplishes that it's not Tameh. So therefore the halacha should be Tahanan le'sakin le'taharim de nevela. It should accomplish that much that the Shechita should accomplish that it shouldn't have a Tumas nevela. The fact that it has a Tumas nevela clearly indicates that by having broken the mefrakes with roi basar, the animal was already a nevela, and once it's a nevela, Shechita cannot help. Answered the Gemara, Hasam, there is a different reason. Ha'amri, Hasam, there is a different reason altogether. Mishum de la Shechita yiklal. Because if without Ziri teaching us, we would have thought that indeed an animal whose neck bone is broken is only a treifa. Why the Mishnah teaches there that it conveys Tumas Nevela, because it didn't have a proper Shechita. It had Malika with a knife. A Malika with a knife is not a Shechita. But it could well be that it's not in the category of a treifa. It's in the category of, it's not in the category of a Nevela. It's only in the category of a treifa. Comes Ziri to teach us that no, it's in the category of a nevela. My Tama. Now why indeed would a Malika with a knife not be considered a valid Shechita? Rav Huna Amar Bnei Shu Machlid. We learned earlier that when you do a Shechita with Chaloda, where it's not cut from the outside, but you furrow the knife in, that isn't a proper Shechita. Rav Amar Bnei Shu Doros. Because when you press the knife down without a halacha of vayva, it's not considered, as we've been discussing in our shir, not a proper shechita because it's a drusa. Madam Amneshu Machlid. So ask the Gemara. Rav Huna, who said the reason is because it's a chalada, my tamal ayam Amneshu Dairus. Why doesn't he agree with what Rav said that it's concerned that if you do malika with a knife, it's drusa, not shechita? Answered the Gemara, as we learned earlier in our shir. Kesavim, Malach, maybe Malika Kasher. He's a demand of Amr that you don't have to do Malika with pressing down. You could do Malika with Ailach of Ayval. And therefore, that Mishnah is indeed speaking about that type of Malika. And since he did that Malika, the Malika with that type of Malika, that isn't the disqualification. The disqualification is the Chaloda. But there's no problem with Rusa. Why did he not indicate that the problem is chaloda? Amloch, chaloda hechidami. What is the definition of chaloda? It's like a weasel that goes under the house, that goes between the simonim. Hacha, here, he didn't go between the simonim. Hamagalia. In other words, according to Rava, the disqualification of chaloda is only when the knife is hidden from view. However, when one cuts from the back of the neck, although when you cut that way, it doesn't cut the same way like when you're cutting from the front of the neck, but still, the knife could be seen for the entire time of the cutting. And therefore, Rava says, that can't be in the category of chaloda, it's in the category of drusa.